God, we thank you that we can meet in this way and open your word and think upon that and then together pray. And we thank you for this access that we have into your presence. We pray you'll speak to us through your word and then help us to speak to you in prayer. Bless those who can't be with us today, but help us now in what we do and say and think for your glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just a few words on Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. I'm breaking into an argument. We haven't time this afternoon to deal with the argument. But just picking out these words. I will come back to the context, but these are the words I wanted to concentrate on. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. The version I've got is the glorious appearing, I think, of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. So the blessed hope, the glorious appearing, the blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just an incidental thing. I don't know if you'll understand what I mean when I say asides in Scripture are more powerful to me than direct statements. By that I mean you take this question of the divinity, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are some direct statements which are very powerful. But these asides, and this is one I would call an aside, imagine that the Arians, the Socinians are right, and Christ is a created being, and he is not God. Paul has been very loose here, has he not? He's been very sloppy in the way he's written. He's linked God and Christ in one sentence, and if he's distinguishing between the two and saying that Christ is not God, he's just a man or something, and so on. I mean, if I can polarize it, if I can make it more graphic, dramatic, can you imagine if Paul wrote, "The appearing of our great God and David Gay"? I mean, it'd be ludicrous, wouldn't it? It'd be laughable. But that's what he's doing here. I can only see one conclusion from this aside. I mean, I don't need the aside, but I can see only one conclusion, that there is no distinction here. Christ, God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherever the commas come, and there are no commas in the original and all the rest of it. Anyway, that's a sort of an aside. It's the blessed hope. This word blessed is a very rich word. I don't know quite how to translate it. It means more than just happy. It's just indescribably wonderful. And of course, hope has lost its power today. We cross our fingers and hope so, and some hopes and all that kind of stuff. But in the Bible, hope is a confident expectation, a guaranteed certain assurance that we have. And Paul is saying to Titus, I want you to preach this. This is the context, but it is this blessed hope, this confidence that we have. And that confidence, that blessed hope, is the appearing, the glorious appearing, I'm sure that's a better way, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whether your experience is the same as mine, but when I was a young believer in the 50s, well, some of you weren't young believers then, but when I was a young believer anyway, there was much more talk of the second coming, much more preaching on it. And a few years ago, not so long ago, but a few years ago, a lady who's just died, a believer who's just died recently, and very, very recently, in Bedford, actually commented to me after I preached one Sunday morning. She said it was refreshing to hear a discourse, a sermon, on the second coming. I think when we were younger, well, I'll speak for myself, and when I was younger, I was much more interested in these prophetical matters. And I get the feeling that this blessed hope is not so high on the agenda. I speak for myself. and rebuke myself, but I think the New Testament shows me these believers really did have that assurance, that confident expectation. I think they were talking of it and thinking of it much more. They expected it very much, very close. I'm sure they did. I think I get that impression. Now,
this is my mother's favourite verse, actually.
Oh,
she had a motto. She had a motto, actually.
Oh, on the card, on the wall, yeah.
Yeah.
The blessed hope. I said it was glorious appearing, was it? Glorious, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, a bit controversial, but I feel it. Have you noticed at funerals and funeral hymns that there's much talk of the intermediate state, the blessed state of the dead at this moment, you see. Now, I'm fully persuaded that absent from the body and present with the Lord, with Christ, which is far better. But as I read the New Testament, the emphasis is not on the intermediate state, but on the final coming of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection and the bliss to follow for the saints. For example, the 1 Thessalonians 4, when the believers are worried there, Paul writes, not about the blessed state of the dead, of the godly, but of the appearing of Christ and the resurrection. They'll be first. This is one way I think we can lose a sense of this blessed hope.
It's also because there's so much controversy that people were put off by.
Well, I'm just coming to that. Another issue, I think, which is, again, controversial, but I have met believers who are so committed to Israel, they can never talk about anything else. And whenever any conversation comes up, it's always Israel, Israel, Israel. And they seem to scour the news and read the newspapers and watch the television for political and military goings on in the Middle East. I think we should have our eyes lifted up to Christ appearing. I just put those as thoughts to you. Another thing, I was talking to Beryl, was it 2 days ago, I think, about something called the Puritan Hope, Leah Murray. And of course, there are these people who have this glorious expectation of a golden age when Israel will be converted, Jews will be converted in large numbers in a worldwide awakening. I don't have that view myself, but even for those who have that view, I think there is a danger that they can drop their eyes from the blessed hope and expect this golden age. I don't expect that. I expect things to get worse myself. But the point is, the real hope of the believer is the coming again of Christ. The context here is interesting too. I said I just mentioned it. I won't go on long. But the context here is Titus has to address believers and urge them to live godly lives. And you can see how this thought that Christ is coming again, there will be the final judgment, and then the blessed state for the godly. You can see how that would play into this idea of sanctification, progressive sanctification, and growing in grace. Christ is coming. Let's keep that in mind. Also, I cannot see how these other things are as powerful an argument when addressing unbelievers. I'm recording this. This will go on the internet. We don't know where it will end up. But it might be that somebody in the world, an unbeliever, will listen to it. What will we say to them? Well, Christ is coming again. There is a general resurrection. We have to appear before him, and he will be there in judgment. Now, there is a blessed hope for the believer. And the only way to have that blessed hope is to be found in him, resting in him. Pause my soul, Gatsby, a hymn writer. Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Art thou made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have a union with the church's living head? So I would urge unbelievers, not only to think very carefully about this, but to come to Christ, because there is a reckoning day coming, and that's Christ coming. And we have to appear before Christ, not Muhammad or anybody else. Christ, he is the one. Now, can I end on a personal note? In May 1997, middle of May, one Sunday morning, I was preaching through Galatians at the time in a church, and I had reached Galatians 5, and I was preaching on Galatians 5, verse 5, where Paul says, we wait. By the Spirit, we're waiting. Let me get this version right here, because so many verses vary, but it's Galatians 5, 5. Paul says this, we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope, see the same word again, the same idea, of righteousness. Now that can only be the coming of Christ, because that's when we are going to be fully made righteous. I know we are now, but that's when our full salvation comes. Well, I was preaching this, and on a Sunday morning, there was a lady in the congregation, a believer, and on the Friday, it was Friday after, May the 23rd, 1997, this lady died suddenly. And on the Sunday morning next, when I was preaching, I referred to this and said we didn't think that Jean, her name was, had only 5 days to wait before the next thing came. Well, I remember that because that was my wife. Now, but so this text is burned in my mind, if you like, or, you know, this thought. But this lovely text, I'm glad you said, Eunice, your parents or whatever it was had it on their wall. What a lovely text to have on the wall. We're looking for, let's be looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And he is our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ.